You know, I was thinking about you this morning, and I used to work for this guy. His name was Brian, and he was my boss, and he would often take his hands out and put them, vertical in palms, and he says, "You and I are like two tires on the front of the vehicle." And so, he says, "If you're off a little direction this direction, and I'm off a little bit this direction, then we're out of alignment. We tear the tires up, it hurts the fuel efficiency, and the people in the back seat feel like the car's not in control." Are you in alignment with Carlo Montemagno?
I would say right now that we have differences in terms of how to direct the campus. I certainly would put a stronger focus on enrollment. I think that in terms of some of the new programs he'd like to do, he might want to go ahead and get started with those. But I will say this, he's there to lead his campus. It's not for me to serve as his micromanager to try to tell him how to run this enterprise that he has. Rather, my role as system president, and this holds true, Tom, with the chancellor at Edwardsville, who I know you talked to the other day, the dean and provost of the medical school here in Springfield. It's not for me to be the uber manager of these people who are charged with running these large enterprises, but again, to be available to provide advice, counsel, suggestions where helpful to ensure that each of those three campus CEOs, as I describe it, stays within their lane. There is certainly a set of legal, regulatory expectations, ethics that have to be followed, the types of things that we're responsible for at the system level, ensuring that all the campuses do. So what I've said numerous times when this kind of question has come up, which it often does, particularly when I'm in Carbondale, is that the leadership of something like a large university campus is in many ways idiosyncratic. So you can put one person in a position like that who's going to take one path toward making change, supporting a campus, moving forward on whatever initiatives that individual thinks are critical for advancing the university. And that whole set of decisions could be very different than what some other person coming into that role might take on. So it's not a question of is one person right, is one person wrong. It's really the case that each of the chancellors, and this would be the case for Chancellor Montemagno, has pretty free rein, as well they should, to lead their campuses in the directions that they will think get them to the greatest productivity and strength as time goes forward.
And that's so, why I use the that's
and
why.
But I do think. As I work with the chancellor and try to, give at least what guidance that may be helpful, having worked at other places doing similar work, I do think there really is going to need to be this strong pivot to focus on enrollment. I know that the chancellor has been looking at enrollment managers to come in and assist with that and really think about some of the new program growth as opposed to waiting for the reorganization piece.
It's interesting because that's why I use the line metaphor. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about driving the car in a correct manner to get to a location. That's why I want to hit that. And it's interesting because when I heard you talking, I heard the voice of another man who I knew many, many years ago by the name of Ralph Dunn.
Yes, Senator Dunn.
Right. And Ralph Dunn told me when I was, this has been a number of years ago, of course, he says, you vote your district first.
Yes.
And that's the voice I heard when you were talking about Carlo Montemagno in Pembroke. But here's the thing. They vote their districts first, their campuses, and then you, of course, over both. So that puts you in that position. Now,
and that's one of the things I've had to, talk to people about, because it's a rare case that, my wife and I don't go to dinner in Carbondale and have this come up with someone who approaches, wants to talk about it, ask similar questions. And what I try to point out, as I share with people on the campuses, is that my role as system president is to ensure that I'm representing all campuses equally, fairly, in a manner that's reflecting the not only the strengths that they have, but the areas where growth is needed and the needs that may exist that we try to respond to. So it is a balancing act. There is this notion of alignment that exists for my position that's frankly different than what the three campus CEOs
and I think that's part of this what happened with this $5.1 million move. The people in the Carbondale campus thought they were like, wait a second, we have a system for everything and there's a procedure for everything, but suddenly this shows up on the agenda and it caught them by surprise. I think it startled them and I think it scared them. There might have even been a humiliation complex to this as well. Oh my gosh, I shouldn't have known about this. And I think that left people with a little apprehension, and then the blatant, outright concern about the loss.
Well, part of the issue with the 10 days is the fact that this is what our agendas call for. Now, yes, if people want to say that, well, we should have been talking about this for 2 or 3 months, something of that nature. All right, I'll grant them the argument, but people also need to understand that this issue first emerged on March 9th when the board had a retreat and said they'd be willing to take a look at some sort of reallocation done as a study using a consultant, probably formula-driven, that would move forward to get some maybe rebalancing or better balancing of the campuses, and here I'm talking about Edwardsville and Carbondale, because we would back out the School of Medicine in making these comparisons to get to some better rebalancing in terms of the state allocation. Also remember that the proposal of $5.1 million shift for FY19 was simply to be reflective of existing operating policy of the board that says the allocation shall be a 60-40 split. Over the years, it had gone to 63-37, 64-36. So we weren't following operating policy of the board, and there's some reasons for that, in large part due to funding cuts over the years and programs that were rolling off of the campuses, particularly where Edwardsville had made some earlier cuts. So it was really to try to get back to that 60-40 policy. We were talking about $5 million in an early adjustment, given the fact that in terms of enrollment, the two campuses were coming into essentially the same enrollment, and to come to a point where there was an equal treatment of equals within the system. Now, the 10-day notice is what goes out for agendas. $5 million is a little over 1% of Carbondale's operating budget. And it was the case that if you look at the action taken on the loan a year ago, which was pointed out by one of our trustees, that was done on much less notice for an amount of $35 million.
Yeah.
I looked at it this way. First of all, there was a discussion that was had with the campus officials about the fact that we were looking at something in this range, and I've interpreted it to some means when we were talking at the board meeting last week as an early payment, as some sort of adjustment, again, because we're going to be starting a new fiscal year here in about 2 months, to really provide some equity around enrollment for the campuses. For instance, if you have a fire at your house or some sort of large property damage that takes place, it's not unusual where an insurance company will come in and say, well, we don't know what the total amount of this adjustment is going to be, but we know at least it's going to be at this level. So there would be a prepayment, an early payment, to at least get some adjustment in place prior to the final determination of what the appropriate amount is. This was really an early phase or pre-phase approach, because it's expected on my part that whenever the final formula gets done over the course of the next maybe 9 to 12 months, you're going to see at least half of that formula driven by enrollment. We can be pretty sure at this point that for the next fiscal year, you're going to have the two campuses at least equal enrollment, if Edwardsville not larger. And there's another factor in here that really hasn't been shared publicly a lot, but I think now
well,
people
I think
are
the fact
seeing
what you
it
just
starting to have some understanding. There's been tremendous pressure that had been growing, and not just at SIUE as a campus, but with civic officials, thought leaders, the chambers of commerce, and that type of thing up in the Metro East, that after that loan was put forward by SIUE to help carry SIU Carbondale through the end of the budget impasse, that there was, I'll use the word demand, that this ultimately be looked at.
Right.
And the pressure had grown over some number of months because we'd not gone forward with that at the board table. We hadn't put it on the docket for them to consider. And that pressure particularly had grown coming out of the retreat where the board said, yeah, we're willing to look at this. And then from there, we had a request from the Edwardsville campus for this early phase adjustment. I thought it was legitimate. I had talked to the budget officer at the Carbondale campus about the ability to absorb something like this. And remember, if we'd done a full adjustment in 1 year based simply on enrollment, that would have been $20 million. There's no way the Carbondale campus could absorb that, could deal with that.
So, Randy, this was
adjusted down to do just a small portion of that over time.
So, and that was a lesser of two evils situation. Then we could have been a $20 million cut, but it turned out to be a $5.1 million transfer.
Yeah, so that it wasn't the case that the Carbondale campus had a cement block dropped on its head that it couldn't deal with, that it couldn't absorb. Now, to the point that there was pressure building that probably needed to be released, in my view, and in consultation with the Edwardsville chancellor up on that campus, I think now we've seen that, in fact, be substantiated, because coming out of the vote of the Board of Trustees not to advance that pre-phase or early phase adjustment, then we saw bills get filed. Obviously, they were ready to move. Bills get filed to address these concerns legislatively.
Well, then this is a good
those
place.
Bills, those bills, I don't know where they'll go, but I can tell you they're moving quickly. I'm staying in town an extra day today simply because all three of those bills that were introduced by Metro East legislators are going to get committee hearings today.
All right, so let's talk about this, Randy. These three bills that you're talking about, there are three bills, one involving the split, one involving the transfer of money, and then another one involves the Board of Trustees, is that correct?
Yes, the three you've characterized it correctly. The three bills are as noted. One would dissolve the system, and again, I'm going to be careful, Tom, about opining on these. I released a public statement in conjunction with our board chair a couple of days ago.
And right.
Most people who are following this story have probably read that. Our board has taken no position on these bills. I think it's probably fair to say, again, without having called each of the trustees to see where they are, I think it's fair to say that our board is probably split on this question right now and the substance of these bills. And whenever you have something like that, until a board comes together and says we're going to take a given position, our position is neutral. So for my office, for our governmental affairs staff here in Springfield, we're not coming out for or against. We're simply saying we're neutral, and until our board would come together and decide to vote on a position on those bills, our role is going to be limited to providing data, giving background, providing maybe some technical expertise about what would happen if any of these bills move forward. So the system split bill, it would do just that. It would dissolve the system. We were able to get that amended yesterday. The original bill that was filed was going to have that split take place July 1, 2018. Legislators can pass the laws they wish to pass, but it would have been, you know, impossible to do the unwinding of the system. So we did get that bill amended to dissolution being July 1, 2019. So that's one bill that would take a very severe approach on one end of the continuum. Another bill, kind of on the the other end of the continuum, or you know, the opposite side of things, would simply create a 50-50 split in the state appropriation coming out of the general revenue fund. So as you know, I commented on earlier, under operating policy of the board, the split is to be 60-40, and it had gotten out of whack over a few years as state funds had declined. So the bill that's out there as part of this trio of proposals would simply say it's for the general revenue fund portion of the state appropriation, it's just going to be 50-50. And would legislate then what had been the SIU operating policy of 60-40. The third bill, I suppose, and I'm not trying to describe good, bad, or indifferent. I'm simply saying they run on a continuum. So the third bill would in essence reconstitute the SIU Board of Trustees. Now, by implication, and the reason it's kind of in the middle of the continuum, by implication, what that says is that a system would continue. It's going to be very hard to pass a bill that splits the system and then have another bill that says we're going to reconstitute the system board. So that bill on board reconstitution would say the terms of all trustees would end, and that there would be a reappointment of a newly constituted board of trustees for the SIU system, three who were alums, graduates of SIU Carbondale, or again, one of its campuses, ostensibly the medical school would count in that, three who are graduates of the SIU Edwardsville campus. Again, we would assume that would pull in someone who graduated from dental medicine up in Alton, and then a seventh member who would be at large, who had a degree from neither institution. Again, the initial filing of that bill took away a vote for the student trustee. When it was initially put in last week and we started looking at the bills, there was no student trustee vote in that initial third bill as filed. That's now since been amended, and I think the latest amendment as of yesterday was to give both student trustees a vote, and I think that's probably going to have difficulty passing. University of Illinois is our other state system. I think their feeling is appropriate for one student trustee to have a vote. I don't necessarily argue with that. So my guess is we might see another amendment yet today or sometime that goes back to where we are now, which would be the two student trustees who on the two campuses we've just elected, by the way, this past week or so, would have one vote between them, the voting member appointed by the governor. So that's the reconstitution bill. Three Carbondale, three Edwardsville, one at large with no connection to the campuses, at least in terms of having a degree, and then one student trustee vote similar to what is now.
All right.
So, and this is not unusual. All three bills will get hearings. All three bills will move forward. But at some point, you know, as the legislative process unfolds, we'll see where the elected representatives of the citizens want to take this. Whether there's a focus on the split bill, whether there's a focus on the reconstitution of the board, whether both of those things may, you know, go by the wayside and simply do the allocation by legislation, right? Or it could be the case that none of these pass. So the role that we've got right now, of course, is to, again, ensure that we're just providing the information that the elected officials want, that their staff members need, to provide them background as these bills potentially continue to make their way. As I say, the two bills were introduced, or the three bills were introduced in the House by those legislators up in the Metro East area. So the hearing today will be in the House Higher Education Committee, and we'll see what happens with those. Again,
okay.
We'll be there.
All right,
to provide information if it's requested.
All right, well, Randy, we're out of time. Thanks for your time, SIU President Randy Dunn.